I'm Marco Werman with The World. You might have seen the headlines about a wave of new migrants coming to the U.S., children from Central America. They're arriving alone, escaping crime and poverty, and hoping to reunite with relatives here in the States. Just since October, the U.S. has detained more than 47,000 children under the age of 18 crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. President Obama says it's an urgent humanitarian situation, and officials are scrambling to shelter the children. But even assuming that's taken care of, these kids face another hurdle, navigating the U.S. court system as they face deportation. The World's Jason Margolis has more on that part of the story.
When Darlene was 16 years old, he left Honduras and began the 1,400-mile journey north to Texas. He traveled by bus and foot. Darlene is now 18. He's small and soft-spoken. He smiles a lot, especially when he seems nervous.
Salí para acá para este país con el interés de poder ayudar a mi familia.
He says he left home to make money to help his family. He was also fleeing a local gang. The gang asked him to join. He said no, so he says they shot him.
Sí, cuando llegué a Texas, los coyotes los abandonaron y los tocó que entregarlos a la migración.
He says when he crossed into Texas, his smuggler abandoned him at the border. Darlene didn't know what to do, so he turned himself in. U.S. officers put Darlene in detention. They fed him and interviewed him and determined that he faced a credible threat to his safety if sent back to Honduras. He was released and eventually reunited with an older brother in New York. Next, he'd end up in immigration court to make his case to stay in the States. Darlene's story has become increasingly typical. What's not typical is what happened to him next. There was a lawyer waiting for him in court. Darlene says he was nervous in court, but felt better with a lawyer by his side. His attorney was there because of Safe Passage, a pro bono program started by Lenny Benson, a professor at New York Law School.
When a child's in deportation proceedings, the government's represented. They have a prosecutor. The judge is on the bench. There's a translator there in whatever language the person would speak, but there's no free counsel.
That's because undocumented immigrants don't have a right to a government-appointed lawyer in immigration proceedings. So once a month, Benson gathers a group of about 40 people to go with her to immigration court. They're a mix of volunteer attorneys, law students, and interpreters. The court lets them greet the children.
And we give every young person who'd like one a free confidential screening to determine their eligibility to remain in the United States or their options for protection.
Volunteers find out if the children were abandoned, neglected, or abused, and if reunification with one or both of their parents isn't an option. Conditions like these can give the children the option to apply to live here legally. Getting to this point in the process is difficult. Only a small fraction of kids apprehended at the border get the chance to make their case in front of a judge. If they do, and if they're in New York, Benson has built a team of 170 volunteer attorneys to represent them. Other legal groups like this are forming across the country, too.
If you could see a child sitting in the courtroom where their feet don't even touch the floor in the courtroom chair, and their eyes are as big as saucers, and their fingers and knuckles are turning white as they grip the chair, and they're looking around the room, eyes darting from adult to adult, trying to understand what's happening to them, I cannot believe any lawyer, regardless of your specialty, who observed that wouldn't say to herself or himself, I need to be a part of a solution.
I think simple due process mandates that unaccompanied children should have a lawyer. Who should bear the cost, I think, is a more complicated issue.
Muzaffer Chisti is with the Migration Policy Institute, a think tank based in Washington. Cost is an issue. Assigning government attorneys to thousands of migrant children could cost taxpayers hundreds of millions. Many members of Congress support the idea of giving the kids legal counsel, but it's unclear if or when this might happen. Until then, Chisti hopes pro bono lawyers will help fill the gap.
I think there is significant reservoir of feeling for this group of people in the private bar that if organized in a more robust way, we could have a large number of lawyers on a voluntary basis offering to represent them.
It will take a lot of them, and the problem isn't going away. The number of kids crossing the border alone could be nearly four times higher than last year. Besides fleeing poverty and violence, this surge has also been fueled by rumors that children who arrive at the border without parents won't be deported. In New York alone, the courts have more than 6,000 pending deportation cases involving children. Lenny Benson's pro bono team can only handle a small fraction of those cases. Her team helped Darlene, the boy from Honduras, earn a green card. Darlene is now a senior in high school. He says the United States has been better than he ever expected. He feels he has more opportunities here, and he doesn't worry for his safety. But his American dream comes with a steep cost. The 18-year-old says he misses his mom back in Honduras, who he hasn't seen in 2 years. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis, New York City.
You can see photos of unaccompanied children in Mexico making the trip up north. They were taken by Mexico City-based photographer Encarni Pindado. You can find them at PRI.org.